Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. 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 He is sovereign. God for being sovereign. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help me sing to you. Got everything in control. Every situation, yes, you got. Every problem. Sovereign in our lives. Thank you for being sovereign in our lives. Thank you for being sovereign in our lives. Oh Lord, you know where our feet go. You know where we're headed. You know our destiny. You know our purpose. Thank you for being sovereign over everything, Jesus. Thank you for being.
God, we thank God for each and every one of you joining me on today, Victory Against All Odds. I am your host, Evangelist Donnie Benton, and we praise God because he certainly is sovereign. We praise God for all that he is doing, and we thank you again for joining me right here on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds. Victory Against All Odds is a radio broadcast where we learn about the strategic tools and weapons that we need to combat the seemingly unsurmountable obstacles in all areas of your life. And so we thank God for you today. Without you, there'd be no me. And we praise God for the ultimate one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those that don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, we pray that you will get something out of this message on today so that you can use it in your life, whatever tool that you need in order to come out of whatever web that you've been entangled in and trapped in, and that you will use it to cut away those things that keep you bound and chained in the name of Jesus. And we thank you again for joining us. We want to say happy Labor Day to each and every one of you. We praise God, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We're rejoicing, and we are certainly, certainly glad to be in it. Someone didn't wake up this morning. Someone wasn't able to dress themselves, wasn't able to clothe themselves. Someone didn't know their name. Someone wasn't able to recognize their family members, their children, their husbands, their spouse, their grandchildren. So we praise God that we don't take life for granted, because certainly each day is a day that God has allowed us to be here, and we certainly are grateful for Him. And so we want to open up today with prayer, and then we're going to go into the Word and wish you to get, as a matter of fact, a pen and paper, so that you can jot some things down for later reference, and you're able to go and search the scriptures and seek the Lord for yourself, asking Him for revelation and knowledge and applying that to your life. Because remember, it's not about someone else. It's about you applying those tools so that you can be free from those things that trap us and snare us. And we praise God for that, so that we can help someone else. So let us go into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you, O God, right now, in the name of Jesus, O God. We asking you, O God, to sup with us on today, O God. And we're standing on the truth of your word, O God. You say that you would give us the keys to the kingdom, that for whatever we bind on earth, O God, you will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, according to your word, Matthew 16 and 18. So, Father God, we thank you, O God, and we praise you. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we bind the will to the will of you, O God, and we thank you, O God, because we will constantly be aware that your will and your purpose for our life, O God, is subject to you. We bind ourselves to the truth of God, that we will not be able to be deceived by any deception of this world and the enemy, in the name of Jesus, O God. We thank you, O God, because we bind ourselves to the blood of Jesus, O God, because we want to be able to make sure that we are constantly aware of the blood of Jesus, O God, and your miracle-working power to restore and to heal, O God, and that you would keep us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Father God, we bind our minds to the mind of you, O God, and that we'll be aware of how you would make us think, O God, and how we are to believe according to the word of God. Father, we thank you, O God, because we want to make sure that we think and act as you would act in any circumstance, in any situation, O God. We don't want to be out of character, in the name of Jesus. We bind our feet to the path of righteousness, that we may step and that we'll be sturdy, O God, and steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in you, O God. And that even on today, O God, today being Labor Day, O God, that we make sure that truth follows us all day long. We bind ourselves to the will of the cross in our life, so the will, O God, that we'll continue to die daily to our flesh, O God, that our desires and our emotions, O God, be lined up according to the will of God. We bind the strong man so that we may be able to receive and take back all that the enemy has stolen from us. Our joy, our peace, our blessings, our freedom, in every material and spiritual possessions, O God, that you have been stolen from us. Father, we thank you, O God. We take it all back now in the name of Jesus. We loose the strong man's influence over any part of our body, our soul, and our spirit. We loose and we crush and smash and destroy every evil device, O God, that is trying to overtake us, cause us to be distracted, and every influence of our life throughout our day, this week, this month, the month being the ninth month, the month being September, 9 representing fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. We repent of every wrongdoing, desires, attitude, oh God, and plans of, oh God, that is not lining up to the will of God. Forgive us, oh God. Oh God, we for holding grudges and wrong ideas and desires and habits and behaviors that's not lining up just according to you. In the name of Jesus, according to 1 John 1 and 9 and John 14 and 14, we renounce and reject all these things in the name of Jesus that are not in our, that are in our life, oh God, that is not according to your desire. God, thank you, God, that you're able, oh God, to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, oh God. And we lose all doubt and confusion from ourselves, oh God, and we bind our minds to the mind of you, and we lose every wrong thought and every evil imagination that will come from us, oh God, being sweet communion with you, oh God, that we be in unity with you in the name of Jesus. We bind and we cast down every gatekeeper and every watchman, oh God, that was not assigned, oh God, to this region, oh God, this area, and even in our lives, oh God, we bind it and we return them back to where they came, oh God, and we bind and loose everything in the name of Jesus, oh God, that was given unto us because you, Father God, gave us the keys to the kingdom. And so we thank you, we praise you, oh God, even for the word that will go forth today. I decree, oh God, that you increase, oh God, and that the people, oh God, that are listening, oh God, those that would come and listen later, that they would grab hold, oh God, to that which belongs to them, oh God, and that they use it, oh God, to be set free and delivered, oh God, and be applicable to their life, oh God, so that they may free someone else. We thank you and we praise you, oh God, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. We thank God for what he is doing. And so we praise God again because today is a new month. It's a new day. We are rejoicing. We're glad in it. Today is September the 2nd. And two, of course, representing God's witness and agreement. We thank God for that. But today is also representing, we've crossed over into a new month. We know that August was the month of new beginnings. But this month, of course, is the ninth month. The ninth month is September. September 9 represents finality. It represents judgment. And it also represents the end and or the conclusion of the matter. I said earlier that 9 represents fruitfulness. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. But just to give you some references, 9 also represents the number of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit because we can't talk about being fruitful without talking about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to tie those things together. Now, what you may not have known is that 9 also represents not giving glory to God. And when we look at the scriptures, we see evidence of that. And one of the things that came to mind earlier was when we don't give glory to God, we are being disobedient. And we definitely don't want to be disobedient. Even when we talk about, I'm going to say it was when we talked about the ten talents or the 9 talents, and the scripture tells us that they didn't do what they were supposed to do. It was the ninth one. And so 9 representing not giving glory to God when we are not operating and doing that which God has given us to do. And another way that we can tie it to the scriptures when we talk about 9 is we can go to the beginning. We always can start at the beginning in Genesis. I want to say the 17th chapter, when Abraham was promised exceeding fruitfulness at the age of 99. If you go back and look at the scripture, I can give it to you. It's Genesis 1 and 2, I want to say, in chapter 17, when Abraham was promised exceeding fruitfulness at the age of 99, and that's when God was speaking to him. He just happened to be 99 years of age, and of course, nine doubled is exceeding fruitfulness. So that means he got a double portion. So we just thank God for being able to apply the word of God to everything that we do and we say. And so today we want to go to the scriptures and we want to talk about the fruit, being fruitful. And so I'm going to pull them out. I'm not going to talk about all the fruit because we're talking about nine being the month of September. So I want to just go to, if you've got your pen and paper, which I asked you to do earlier, I want to go through the scriptures, and we're going to start with, and bear with me, Matthew. We're going to go to the book of Matthew. Just want to lay some foundation here, if you will allow me. We want to go to Matthew 7 and 16, and I'm just going to be kind of, I want you to write it down and read. So I'm kind of, because of the hour, I want to get to some things, so I'm just kind of skimming and paraphrasing some things. But we want to talk about, we want to start things off talking about being fruitful. Matthew 7, and we're going to start because we want to back it up to verse 15. I want a complete thought here. The Lord is speaking, and he says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but they are really vicious wolves." And so what I love about the scripture, and I'm happen to be reading this particular passage of scripture from the New Living Translation because I want understanding here for a minute, is that he explains to us how we can identify those who are wolves. And it says in verse 16 that you can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way that they act. And so remember, we're going to be talking about self-control, so keep this in mind, and this is why I'm reading this. And so then what I love about the particular scripture is it asks the question, can you pick grapes from a thorn bushel, or can you pick figs from a thistle? So it goes on to say in this particular scripture that a good tree produces good fruit and bad tree produces bad fruit. And then verse 18 says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. So again, the Lord, I love the word of God because it definitely gives us instructions. It tells us how, what to look for so that we're not taken, we're not surprised. And nothing comes upon us unaware. He tells us how to look and what to look for. So he says that you can identify a tree by its fruit. So you can identify the people also by their actions. So we praise God because now we know that people use the scripture about judging. They use that to try to use it to their advantage by telling you, well, you can't judge me, you're not supposed to judge. But the word of God says that the tree is known by the fruit it bears. So if you're not producing fruit that is becoming and that represents Christ and his characteristics, then I have and you have the right to call that tree by what it is. And if it's not what it says that it is, if you see that it says it calls itself a grape, a vine, and it's a grape, but see grapes, you see figs, that's a conflict of interest. If you see what's supposed to be an apple tree, but it's producing bananas, that's a conflict of interest as well. So just keep that in mind as we go further. And also, whenever the Lord speaks purpose, we know this, and when we talk about purpose or being fruitful and bearing fruit, if you go to John 15, John chapter 15, St. John that is, it gives way to those grapes. And grapes grow on a vine, So here we see over in John 15 where we're talking about fruit. Still, we're talking about being fruitful here. So verse 8 says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. So this brings great joy to the Father. So can you imagine God smiling because you're being fruitful? Because when you're fruitful, he says that we are his disciple. So we know that that means that the Father is pleased. Now, the Lord is simply stating that you are becoming a full partner, and you are his personal representative here on the earth. For you will share equally with him, and you will receive his inheritance when you're being willing to be used, and when we're willing to work, and we're willing to suffer as Christ suffered. So he calls us friends, and that's a great thing. I believe it's a great thing, and that's me saying that when we produce much fruit and when we're being fruitful, that he calls us friend. He's saying, you are my disciple. I can trust you because I see the manifestation of that which you call yourself. You call yourself a believer. You call yourself a manifested son, a manifested daughter in Christ, and I see your fruit. So that means that you can be trusted. Praise God for that. I praise God that we can be trusted when the Lord sees that we are being fruitful. Now, we're going to go to Galatians 5, because we want to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. And so Galatians 5, give me a minute here, Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Praise God. Against such these, there is no law. And again, we're in Galatians 5, starting at the 22nd verse. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Praise God. Okay, so when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, first and foremost, what is so tickled to me, I am just humbled, that's the fact that, one, we're talking about self-control today. And when the Lord gave me this, I retract that statement. He didn't necessarily give it to me. What happened is I was called. I will be speaking on this coming Friday. This coming Friday in Garner, North Carolina, at a service, a two-day revival. So I will be speaking on self-control. And so that was what was given to me in terms of what the theme was. Now, what God did give me was to do this today on the air. But what I discovered in being obedient to the Lord is that self-control just happens to be the ninth fruit, the last fruit. And I thought that was very significant because this is the month of September, and so September represents being fruitful. And it also represents the end or the conclusion of the matter, or it represents being final. And we think about nine, we can think about a woman being pregnant for 9 months. It is the end of the term, and now it's time to be fruitful. So bringing forth, birthing that which was seeded in you now becomes manifested. Because it is one, it's the conclusion of the fact that you were carrying this seed, and now it's time to bring forth the fruit. So that is your fruitfulness. It is the end, because it is the end of the term, and the conclusion is that you bring forth good fruit. Praise God. It is final. Hallelujah, because it is over. Glory to God. If you are a woman and you've had children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It seems like that ninth month is one of the roughest, other than the beginning of the month, that ninth month, that final conclusion, that last part can be a little rough on the body, praise the Lord. But at the end, we know that we bring forth good fruit, and that is a joyful thing when you're able to look down at that which you have carried and that you've endured. And now you have, you know, the manifestation of that seed. Glory be to God. I am just so grateful for that. One of the other things we talked about, 9 represents, is the number of the Holy Spirit. And again, we're talking about self-control today, which is the last one. It's very significant. And as I was beginning to pray and ask God, what did he want me to say? He just kind of brought a few things to my mind. So let's talk about these 9 fruits. So first of all, I thought it was very significant because, like, again, I say God does things with purpose. Now, we know that the first is love. Love being very important because I believe it. When the Lord gave it to me, I see it as being the locomotive. So it is the thing that drives you because we know that Christ is love. And so when we talk about love, we're talking about a divine love, a strong, tender, compassionate devotion to the well-being of someone. And sometimes we can say something, you know, sometimes we love things, but we're not talking about things today. We're going to talk about someone, being a person. And so we know that Jesus is love. We know that he is love. Christ is love. God is love. And so in order for us to be connected to the vine, we must, first of all, have love. Because without love, I feel that the rest of it is null and void. How can you walk and be a disciple? How can we represent Christ if Christ is love and we not have love? So first and foremost, love is most important. It is first. The second is joy. Joy is the emotion, excitement, gladness, delight over blessings received or expected for self and for others. Okay? So if we have love, we know that we have joy. Joy and love kind of go together in that usually when we love something, we are in the state of having joy. And in the natural, in the flesh, we could say we're happy. The happy is temporal. But when joy, we can have joy when things are not going quite the way that we want them to because we have the love of Christ. And when we have the love of Christ, then we know we have joy when we can go through because we have confidence in the one that we abide in and that which we are connected to. After joy comes peace. Now, peace being the state of quietness, rest, repose, or harmony, and it represents order and security in the midst of turmoil. It represents strife and temptation. But when we have the love of God, hallelujah, and we are resting and we have joy, we have peace. Glory be to God. Then we have there's long suffering. Long suffering is number 4. Long suffering is that patience, that endurance to bear long with the frailties and the offenses and the injuries that life can bring. And when we're provoked by others, and we do this without mumbling and complaining or whining or with resentment. So when we are able to go through long suffering, that means we are in for the long haul because we are connected to the vine. Glory be to God. And because we have love and we know that God abides in us and we're representing him. So we can have long suffering and we're able to bear those things that come against us. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere with this. After we've long suffered, then there's gentleness. Gentleness is number 5. It's a disposition to be gentle. It's being soft spoken, being kind, even tempered, refined in character and conduct. Okay, so even tempered is a little bit hard, being gentle when you know someone has plucked your nerve when you're in the grocery store, or when you're driving and someone has cut you off, that person or that job that just gets under your skin, you know what I mean? But you, because you have love, because we are wrapped up and tied up in Jesus, because we have joy and the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, we can still take that breath, glory be to God, and be soft-spoken, be kind, be even-tempered. We don't have to raise our voice because we have the love of God. And I'm going back to love for that, for a reason. Then there's goodness. You know, goodness is just one of those states of just being good. It's being kind and virtuous. Benevolence, it's being genuine. It's being genuous. It's just being good. It's just one of those things where you're just in a state of just being good and kind. And the thing that if you've ever met that person who they don't necessarily know Christ, they haven't accepted Him as their Lord and Savior, but they're good. A lot of times, if we're not careful, we can marry a good husband, for example. Now, we're in Christ, but that husband is not. So, you know, in terms of having eternal life, he's just a good husband. He's just kind-hearted, and he's soft-spoken, and he's even-tempered, and he's mindful. He's a good husband, but he's not connected to the vine. And so this is one of the reasons why we need to make sure that we have the spirit of discernment and that we are connected to the vine. And when we're connected, we carry this fruit, because there are those on the opposite side who are connected to the vine, but they're just as mean as a rattlesnake. And you've run into those people who they're good to that other person. They can be gentle and kind, but then when it comes to you, they're mean and they're hateful. They're short. So we're talking about the spirit here, but we're going somewhere. So that was goodness. Next is faith. Faith is the living divinely. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me just keep that plain, not try to fix that one up. It speaks for itself. It's just having faith in the thing that we cannot see, but we know that God has promised us, and we haven't seen the manifestation, but we know that, again, what we pray for, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever we loose on earth is loose in heaven, and we just believe God, because he gave us a promise, and we're going to have faith, and we're just waiting on that manifestation in the physical realm. Then we have meekness. Meekness is a disposition to be gentle, kind, indulgent. It's being balanced in temper, being passionate, being patient in suffering, enduring without feeling a spirit of revenge. Sometimes when we've gone through things, yes, I'm talking to you, we've gone through things, we've been hurt, we've been battered, we've been bruised, we've been talked about, we've been accused, some have been raped, molested, and treated unfairly. But when we have Christ and we are mature in Christ, then there comes meekness, because we are walking in the likeness of Christ. Then that's when meekness comes in. That's when we need to be passionate and patient and gentle and kind and indulgent. And we learn to suffer because we know we are, as Christ was, we suffered through those things that would be hard if we were in our flesh. This is when we've died and we've really submitted and surrendered ourselves to him fully, fully. Okay, next is temperance. Now, this is where we're going today. We're on 9, being the ninth month, temperance. So we're going to talk about temperance being nothing more than self-control. So let's talk about self-control. Self-control is all that we just talked about earlier. Self-control is the ability to control your emotions, your behavior, and desires in order to obtain reward and avoid punishment. Self-control is strength of our mind, strength of our will, our self-will, restraint, the ability to control our behavior, especially when we talk about reacting on impulse. So self-control is last. Now, I find it very enlightening to know that God loves, because love is the engine that kind of keeps the train moving. But self-control is the caboose. And if you think about this and catch this by the Spirit, isn't it interesting that the first is love, which is clearly, of course, the most important, but self-control is what holds it all together. Because if we have no self-control, self-control is the capstone, and it takes a lot of the self-control in order to exercise the other eight virtues. So we need self-control in order to bridle our tongue, in order for those other eight virtues to work. We've got to have self-control over all of them, with love leading and guiding us. Praise God, because we know that in life we all face temptations to sin. In all areas of our life, temptations to do that which goes against the will of God. And that the thing that makes me humble about this is that no one is excluded. No one is above, self-control. No one is above the temptation to sin. Let me put it that way. So we are always confronted with temptations. But we know that we who are abiding in the Lord, we strive as much as possible to get away from it. So that means that we must flee from those things that would cause us to drop the ball, those things that would cause us to waver, lose self-control. We consider some of those things as fleeing. The Bible tells us to flee from that which would cause us to fall, to stumble. And I'm paraphrasing, but we flee from, and I'm just kind of throwing out some things, because we all have to flee from those things. We all have weaknesses, let me put it that way. So we flee from, for some, and not all, sexual immorality. We find that in the Word of God when we look at Genesis 39 and 12. We can talk about Joseph there. We flee from idolatry, all kinds of evil. We flee from our youthful lust. We can find that one in John 10 and 5 and 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. We flee from those things that would cause us to fall. We need self-control so that we avoid not only the outright evil, but we also too much of a good thing. So that's the other side. You know, some of us like to eat more than others. Some people overeat, they overdrink, they overspend, overindulge in the things that we love. So we must rule over our appetite rather than letting our appetites rule us. We overindulge. When we overindulge, we can become intoxicated. We can become addicted to those things that we love. And I flipped it, because we talk about one side, we need to talk about the other so that we're balanced in life. So when we talk about being intoxicated, you know, if we're narrow-minded, we're thinking about, you know, drinking alcohol. And so I can hear some say, well, I don't drink. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're not intoxicated. It just means that that's one of the circles that you've conquered, that you've mastered. But what about overspending, or what about things, or what about cars, or whatever addiction that you actually like, that you've been intoxicated with, whether it's self-appearance, and we want to look good, and we want to be presentable when we walk out the door, but we don't want to be off balance. We don't want to be addicted or become addicts to the things that we like, that not necessarily the thing is a sin, but because we are overindulged in it, or we have lack of self-control, then we've fallen over to lacking in the fruits of the Spirit. So if we miss one, then the train wrecks. Let me put it that way. So self-control often means resisting sexual temptations. It's a subject addressed many times in the Bible. And so we see that evident throughout the Bible. We talk about let me put it this way. Sexual temptations can bring havoc to our lives. And we know that because when we've connected to someone and they're not our husband, then we've developed soul tie. And we'll cause our life to go into a tailspin. And so we know that sexual sins are especially damaging to our physical, our mental, our emotional, and our spiritual. And you can write that down. Go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 13 through 20 and read. And so that is just evidence of what lack of self-control in us having sexual immorality can do for you. Lust. Smart people do stupid things sometimes. We all make mistakes. We all sometimes make the wrong decision. Prominent people who've been caught cheating on their spouses, they rule over many people, you know, they fail to rule their own lives. And so sometimes my former apostle used to say this. He used to talk about being a public success and a private failure. And this would be a great example of that. We can be such a public success, meaning that from the eyes of the people, those that are seeing us, that we look like we have it all together, but behind the scenes, our life is a wreck because we don't have self-control. And so, again, self-control holds it all together. And so when we can have self-control, then we know that we won't be so easily befallen by the things that keep us from being fruitful. So I say that because that is something that we don't talk about. You don't hear a lot about in the body of Christ is having self-control. We talk about love and how to love, but if we don't have self-control, we don't know how to love. If we don't have self-control, we would not be able to walk in meekness. If we don't have self-control, we would not be successful in our temper. If we don't have self-control, we will lose sight of being long-suffering and knowing that Christ suffered for us. We would not be able to keep hold to the joy because the moment something goes wrong, you start murmuring, you start complaining, you stop being kind, you become selfish. You become single-minded or narrow-minded in your thinking. You don't know how to sacrifice. You become tight-fist. And I'm just touching on each and every a little bit of part of our area, and you take what belongs to you. We do offenses. We speak harsh to others. Therefore, we have injured someone else. We have turmoil in our life. We're operating in strife. We have no security because we have no self-control. Praise the Lord. And so we now remember that the Lord says that when we are fruitful, then the Lord takes delight in that, and we are his friend. So it is just essential that we learn how to have self-control. Self-control comes with maturity. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. So if we don't have self-control, then we have no willpower. Okay? So when we talk about willpower and self-control, we have to talk about submitting our will to the Father. Now, self-control comes from two Greek words. The first being, it's called ekotria. And so when we break it down, the in part and the kratos part, in means in, and kratos means strength or power. And from kratos, we get the English word democracy. Democracy, of course, being power or ruled by the people. And then theocracy means governed by God. So from the Greek root words, we see that tikrika essentially means power or strength within. So then the question then becomes, but whose power are we talking about? Are we talking about your power, or are we talking about the Lord's power or power from on high? So we want to make sure that we are governed by God and not ruled by the people. So even apart from God's direct help, some people have a relatively strong character. We've met people who have a strong character, who are self-confident, who have good habits, and things like that. But their good habits may be the result of good upbringing plus wisdom gained from experience. I mean, we meet people like that all the time. I can't say that I have had good upbringing, but I know that God has given me wisdom. From my experiences, I turned what was bad into something good. But perhaps combined with innate determination, such as what I had, I was determined I wasn't going to let the enemy take my dark place, praise God, and turn it into something where I was going to be ruled by my, therefore, I wasn't going to be able to walk in the fruits of the Spirit because I was going to be angry. I would have been angry, had no faith, indulging in myself, in my flesh. I would have been bitter, and being bitter, of course, we know that we bring bitterness onto other people. I would have been mumbling and complaining. Woe is me. So in my dark place, I had to make a decision that I was going to be governed by God and not ruled by my circumstance and my situation. So even apart from God's direct help, like I said before, you know, we have to make a conscious decision that we're going to grab hold to God's unchanging hand, and that we're going to take on and be connected to the vine, allowing him to abide in us so that we can manifest him that we're abiding in him. So when we do that, then we know that we have confused the enemy. And then we know that we're being ruled by the power and the willpower of the Lord. Praise God. But something else. We need to make sure that we've asked God for his discernment. We've prayed where we bind our minds, and that we trade our minds in for the mind of Christ, and that we trade in our will for the will of God throughout every area of our life. Because face it, men and women of God, we have victories in certain areas of our life, but then in other lives we're lacking. So we may be great in our faith concerning this thing, whatever that thing could be, we have faith in knowing that God is the healer. That's an example. But for other people, but then we fail to believe that God can heal us. So we go to the hospital, we pray for other people, knowing that God will heal them, but when we become sick or, you know, we have something going on, we panic, we start murmuring, complaining, we start doubting God. Now, two, the day being the second day, we want to make sure that we have faith. So that's why faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit, because the opposite of faith is praise the Lord. So we know that Paul is talking here. So Paul plainly said that the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it doesn't submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. So when we talk about that last part of that scripture, let me go back here. It says, against such there is no law. That's where that's coming from. So, again, we're saying that Paul is saying that the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it submits itself to God's law, meaning our flesh. It doesn't submit itself. Remember, we cannot tame the flesh, but we can submit our flesh, our will to the Lord, meaning our whole self. Now, Romans 8 and 7 is where you can go read that, Romans 8 and 7 down, and you can read that for yourself. But no, our human mind by itself is not capable of being in complete subjection to the law of God. Therefore, we need power within that comes from God in order to submit ourselves to Him. Jesus said that the spirit, that's our attitude, indeed is willing, but the flesh, meaning our human willpower, is weak. That's in Matthew 21. Jesus' disciple intended stick by him, but when things got really scary, when it got rough, when it got a little shaky, they all deserted him. That's if you continue to read, now still in Matthew 26, starting at the 41st verse. That's round about verse 56 if you read. So again, we need to be as a matter of fact, I can hear Donnie McCurkin say he has his Saturday morning broadcast, Stick and Stay. We need to have some stick and stay-ness in our being, in our existence, in our body, in our mind. We need to stick and stay. We can't just not have self-control or be steadfast and unmovable, as we talked about earlier. We need to be steadfast and unmovable when things get rough. We can't lose control. Therefore, control can be somewhat misleading. Effective self-control is not ultimately self-controlling self, meaning we can't control ourselves. We have to truly, effectually control over our lives. We need God's power in order to have control. So, again, we have to submit our whole self to Christ in order for us to have self-control. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We have to be willing to submit to God's power, to His power, in order for us to be able to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. He has to be able to abide in us and we in Him. Again, we have to be truly, deeply rooted and connected to the vine. Again, we're talking about being fruitful here. Just before Jesus ascended to heaven, He said to His disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And that, of course, is in Acts 1, verse 8. So remember, 9 represents the number of the Holy Spirit. So we talked about, we said we were going to tie this in. So Luke 24:49 added that the disciples were to wait in Jerusalem until they received this power from on high, the power being the Holy Spirit. So we must have the Holy Spirit in order for the fruits to be operating and for us to be successfully manifesting those fruits. We must have the Holy Spirit. You can't without it. So when we go back to the scriptures and we read 10 days after when disciples had gathered together, we know that 120 days of Christ's disciples was the Feast of the Pentecost. Okay, so suddenly they were filled with the Holy Spirit and God's power was demonstrated. Again, that's in Acts, and that's the second chapter of Acts. And so we know that the crowds gathered. Peter explained to them what had happened and that they had to receive the Holy Spirit. They had to repent and let every one of them be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. That means that they needed to ask for forgiveness and that they would receive that gift. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a gift. Glory be to God. So we need to make sure that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit and the benefits of the Holy Spirit ruling and abiding in our life. And then once we've received the Holy Spirit, then we can ask for and seek out his spiritual knowledge, which adds self-control to our life, 2 Peter 1:5. 1:5-8. And then we know that we can apply this to our lives, knowing that we have been transformed in the renewing of our mind, that we increase in the effects of our fruit and having God's Spirit within us. So glory be to God that we are able to walk in the fruits of the Spirit and to know that when we walk with love, glory be to God, love being our engine, it's what's driving us, that the end of the thing, the capstone is self-control. Well, because we have self-control on work. So, the end of the thing, working as a whole, is working whole so that we walk in the fullness of God. Glory be to God. We praise God for being able to talk about self-control and making sure that we who are free agents, that we don't take for granted the fruits of the Spirit, and that we're operating in all these things, and that you've been empowered, and that you use this tool so that you can fully operate in the fruits of the Spirit, knowing that love is driving you and self-control is containing you. Praise God. And so I don't mind. I can open up the lines. Praise the Lord. If you have anything you would like to say, for those that are in the chat room, if you are in the chat room and you would like to dial in so that you can continue, we have about 90 seconds left. You may do so at 818-572-2919. For those of you that are listening in Radio Land, if you would press 1 and come into the studio, and if you would like to say anything, you are more than welcome to do so. Praise the Lord. Thank God for in his presence in the chat room. Thank God for you joining us on today. I hope that each and every one of you will take something from this and use it and apply it to your life. For those that are in the studio, I'm just going to call out the last 4 digits of your phone number, And if you have something to say, if you just want to say hi, if you want to add something, if you have a question, you're more willing to do so. If you have nothing to say, then simply say, not at this time. So I'm going to start with area code 919 and the last four digits of 4333, and I'm going to open up your line. And I just want to say thank you for joining me. You are on the air. Thank you for joining me on Victory Against All Odds. Praise God. 4333, you're on the air. I think my computer is okay. 4333, are you on the air? Do you have anything to say? Thank you for joining me. Glory be to God. 919. You have anything you want to add? Say. If not, we can go to area code 321. Last four digits is 6553. If my computer will conform. Praise God for what God has done. We have just moved to our new home, my children and I. God is a blessing in this year of divine change, and we thank God for all that he is doing as well. And again, just by way of announcement, my book release will be coming out in the year of 2014, In That Dark Place. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And praise God for just enlarging our territory, and thank God for the open heavens and all that he is doing in this season. 321, the computer is still spinning. I'm sorry, I can't get the lines to open today. It's trying. Oh, praise God. All right, here we go. 321, area code, you are on the air. Hello? Okay. If anybody doesn't have anything to say, we are just going to prepare to close out. I just want to say that I thank God for what he is doing. Thank God for knowing that we know that God is a great God, and we know that he is awesome, and we love the Word of God, because the Word of God gives us specific instructions, and he teaches us and tells us exactly how to carry ourselves and how to manifest the fruits of the Spirit, and so that we can be witnesses for him, and so that we can draw others to Christ. And he allowed us to go through various situations because, one, he's maturing us in the fruits of the Spirit. If you really think about that, he's teaching us how to be strong, how to be strong in being meek, and how to love when they don't love us back, and how to have joy when we're going through, and how to have faith when we just don't see anything happening and it's not manifesting exactly when we think it's supposed to happen, but in God's time. And so we thank God because we know that it's better to be patient than powerful, and it's better to win control over yourself than over whole cities. We know that with all of us, certainly that it is that our biggest spiritual enemy has been within ourselves, and that we must take heart to these things, and that with God we have great help, and that with that we can increasingly conquer the enemy, because he has given us dominion and power over all workings of the enemy, and that the enemy is over our feet. We know that God has given us the ability to have the enemy under our feet, and that at the end of the story it says that we win. Even though we go through, we know that every one of us rule over ourselves before we can, as promised to those who overcome in Revelations 3 and 21. And then when we go and look at Revelations 20 and 6, reign with Christ in his kingdom when we are victorious against all odds. Praise God for God. We praise God for all that he is doing. We pray, God, that you joined Victory Against All Odds today. Again, I am your host, Evangelist Benson, and we know that we have victory in Christ. If you desire to be in touch with me, if you care to write me, you may do so at Victory Against All Odds, P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina 27611. Again, that's P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina 27611. If you desire to also get in contact with me, if you have a question or concern, you may go to my webpage, www.weebly.com. Again, that's www.vaao.weebly.com. You may go to the webpage. You can leave a comment, a question, a statement. If you so desire, you can read some of the testimonies that are on the page. Eventually, you'll be able to purchase products. If you desire to, I do have keychains, Victory Against All Odds keychains. If you desire to purchase a keychain, please go to my website, you can purchase your keychain right off of the website. That was something for you to have. Put your address on there, and I will mail your keychain out to you as soon as I see your request. And so we praise God for you today. Today is the day that the Lord has made. We are glad, and we are certainly glad to be in it. We thank you that you've joined us. And we're going to go out with this song. What we haven't heard for in a while. Hopefully this will bless your spirit, keep you encouraged. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for in his presence, for joining me on today as well, and those that are in the chat room, those that are in radio land that are listening, those that are across the waters. We thank God for you today, and may today be filled with joy, peace, and understanding, and may your cup be overflowing with the blessings of the Lord. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for joining me on Victory Against All Odds. And if I can get the radio to work, everything seems to be slow. I think it's taking a rest because it is Labor Day. It's taking a rest as well. So,
you did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. Thank you.
Right there in your God.
Glory to God. Praise God for Jesus who came to seek and save the lost. We thank God for each and every one of you. Thank you for joining me again today on Victory Against All Odds. We hope that you were inspired and challenged and you found something and you were able to use these tools to help you in your everyday walk with Christ, and that you know how to gain self-control so that you can then in turn empower someone else. Praise God, we thank you each and every one of you for joining me today, and may you have a wonderful and blessed day. God bless you. Goodbye.